Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is September 19th. This is Ximini here, ready for another podcast for your enjoyment. It's going to do the usual today. Keep it about 10 to 15 minutes. Get into fantasy football to start off. Yesterday was a blockbuster trade. It kind of caught everybody by surprise as there wasn't rumor circulating on ESPN or in the newspapers. It was pretty much caught everyone by surprise when Adam Schefter made the announcement that the Colts had received Trent Richardson for a first-round draft pick. Cleveland seemed like they're just trying to get value for the back that they drafted to just a year and a half ago. And obviously the Colts, with issues at running back, they cut DeLon Carter. They had an injury with Vic Ballard and Ahmad Bradshaw at his age. And questions lingering. They needed to have some support for their franchise quarterback, which is Andrew Luck. And they don't want to just sit back and have the possibility of having a 500 season just because they don't have a strong tailback. The defense is young. It's okay. But obviously that offense is going to need to score some points. And last week, the Colts struggled at home without a running game. But I think the Colts did the right thing. Trent Richardson, we don't know how he'll be for his entire career, but right now I would say he's still one of the best young backs in the league. And Cleveland didn't really give him that chance to flourish with the issues they have at wide receiver and their ability just to score points and move the football with Brandon Whedon. So Trent Richardson heads to the Colts. We really don't know where he'll be ranked so far as a fantasy football running back, but last year he did have a good 4 to 5 game stretch in running back. Heading to the Colts, I think he'll get back up there in the top 10 type running backs, and he'll be used more in the passing game, obviously something that Andrew Luck likes to do when dinking and dumping the football. So definitely Trent Richardson is going to be an upgrade now, and for those of you that had him as a Cleveland Brown, you have to be ecstatic, which I am one that does. So I'm ecstatic to have him there and a chance to really bounce back from being a potential bust pick in the first, second rounds of fantasy drafts to having a chance to actually live up to that, because it's still early in the season. So Trent Richardson, take it for what it is. He's on a good team, a good offense, and he should be able to reap those fantasy football points that we've been looking forward from him. The Cleveland Browns, you know, everybody was out there. Who are they going to get? What are they going to do? They're obviously going to sign Willis McGahee, and that right there is the back that, really, wherever he's been able to have some sort of fantasy football impact. So looks like he's going to pass that physical. And if he's still out there in your leagues, go ahead and grab him, because he'll be able to put up some points for you. A couple of articles. I'm putting up a lot of good content on notjustagame.com for fantasy football players. Fourth quarter killers. I'll go into a few this week. I did have Andrew Luck up there before the trade, as I wrote this article a few days ago. I'm still going to keep him up there. Just because Trent Richardson has headed to a new team doesn't mean he's going to instantly be able to have an impact, even though he will have a pretty good impact this week against the 49ers. But Indianapolis is coming off a loss to Miami, to traveling on the road all the way over to San Francisco. So far, far away for them to go for a game. They're facing the 49ers team that should be revved up after their another disappointing loss in Seattle, in which they lost by 26 points. So Andrew Luck, when he has to force the football, he's not one that tends to do well. And his yardage may be there this weekend, maybe high 300, 400 yards, but I don't think he's going to have the touchdowns through the air to offset his interceptions and turnovers. So Andrew Luck would be one. I would say if you can have a better option, which you should, if you're drafting accordingly in your fantasy football league, you should be able to have a good backup. And I'll be more than willing to answer that question. It's got to be a capable backup, or obviously you'll start Andrew Luck. But if you have any questions on your backup, give me any shout out on Twitter at Ximini, and I'll go ahead and answer that question for you. The other fourth quarter killer I would like to see you get in your lineup possibly is Chad Henne. And so it sounds a big surprise, but I'm a fantasy football analyst that doesn't just come with what they see. I like to go against the grain with some of my picks. I think Chad Henne, from what I've seen in the years past, he's one that steps up when you least expect it. I can remember a game against the New England Patriots when he was a Miami Dolphins starting quarterback, in which he threw for 400 yards, something like that. Just blew everybody away with his game. And then last year against the Texans, who were a pretty strong defense last year until the midway point of the season. He threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns. So, Chad Henne going in Seattle. Everybody's against him. Odds makers against him. 20-point underdog. And this is just the type of game where Chad Henne can go out there with no expectations and just go out there and do what he can do. Obviously, Blaine Gabbert was questionable this week, so he'll probably be back next week. So Chad Henne can just let it all ride. And I think this game, even if the Colts or Seahawks are up big in this game, Chad Henne can have a good second half, sort of the way we've seen RG3 do that in the last few weeks. Maybe even possibly get that cover. I like to pair up these guys. So I told you about Andrew Luck and Chad Henne, fourth quarter killers. Obviously, the receivers are going to pay a dividend. So T.Y. Hilton. He has a good matchup against Asamoah, who's obviously been one that's been a little bit overpaid in years past. Now he's a nickelback corner for the 49ers, and I don't think he has the speed to keep up with Hilton. So the 49ers might mix that matchup up to prevent issues early in the game. But later in the game, if the 49ers are up big, Hilton can have a pretty good second half for you. Cecil Shorts, really kind of been quiet, maybe waiting for Justin Blackmon to come back for that offense to get a little bit life to it, only scoring 10 points, 11 points, whatever it is, in the first 2 weeks of the season. But Cecil Shorts is not a bad receiver, as his stats have shown the first 2 weeks. And I think this week going against Seattle, he'll be able to get some opportunities, especially as a fourth quarter killer. Others that could have a good opportunity this week: Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Carson Palmer, and Michael Floyd, as I do expect, which I'll talk about in my handicapping segment here in a little bit. That's going to be a play that I discuss, is the Saints over the Cardinals. One key about fantasy football is when you have those borderline players, whether it's bench depth, roster flex, or borderline starters, you need to make moves, because those are the key players that you need to make decisions on for your lineup. You don't want to keep going with the same starters every single week. You got to take chances, and to do that, you got to have roster depth that you can play around with. So there's some players that I think you want to upgrade if you have them on your roster. Phillip Rivers is one. These are guys that you can either offer a trade bait for, or even move them up a few weeks to give them a chance in your starting lineups before you do a trade. But you got to always keep amending your roster in fantasy football. This isn't a draft your team and see how it does the whole year. You need to be making moves via the waiver wire, via your roster depth, and via your starters, so that you can make your team better via trades or just utilizing your depth in general. So a couple of quarterbacks that I want you to upgrade that were on that cusp of roster flex, bench depth, and borderline starters: Ryan Tannehill. He's coming along quite a bit. This week against Atlanta, I think Miami's going to be in a little bit of trouble, just because they're going up against a higher caliber team. One thing you got to keep in mind, the media is always going to profile what a team's doing. They're 2-0, but Miami really had a couple of easy games. Cleveland, even though both their games were on the road, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Miami just came out and played just a little bit better than both those teams, but it's not like they just blew right past those teams. So I think this week, even at home against Atlanta, Tannehill and the Dolphins may struggle, but that doesn't mean that Tannehill is not upgradable, because he's a good fantasy mid-tier quarterback right now. Phillip Rivers, obviously, I like the offense. San Diego Chargers have implemented the short passes. His receivers were kind of underrated coming into the year. They're able to catch. They're catching the football this year on something that they didn't do last year. They dropped the ball a lot. And Ken Wisenhunt and Mike McCoy are doing a great job and just balancing each other. Sometimes when you have a ex-coach come in, there can be issues. But Ken Wisenhunt's relished his role as offensive coordinator. He's doing his job correctly, and he's out there trying to get himself in position to get another head coaching job. And with what he's doing with Phillip Rivers, you can put Ken Wisenhunt as an early candidate to be a coach that gets seeked after the season. If he keeps this up with the way Phillip Rivers is running his offense. But the design plays are unbelievable, and he's getting it done. And Phillip Rivers, just a few years ago, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback with the yards and touchdowns he was able to get with Antonio Gates and Vincent Jackson. It was just until recently, when he started getting the interceptions and fumbles, that he was downgraded to the second string fantasy quarterback. So for those of you that took a gamble, good for you with Phillip Rivers, because he's going to keep piling up those stats in this type of offense. So downgrades, Daniel Thomas has done absolutely nothing as the Dolphins' backup running back. And usually you would see a platoon that they have, you would think that he'd be able to be successful, but he's just not getting it done. And the Patriots' backup wide receivers, that goes without saying. They've been a big disappointment, and soon you're going to have Rob Gronkowski and even Amendola back from injury. So those guys are going to take him even more of a backseat because Julian Edelman's shown that second tier wide receiver that people were saying that Dobson or Thompson was going to get in the preseason. That's not going to happen. It's going to be Edelman's job, and these guys are going to spot the radar occasionally. Just because Amendola and Rob Gronkowski are going to take the focus away from them. So those guys are downgraded in my mind, and I don't think you can move them up this season at all. But like I said, I've got a lot of great fantasy football content on the website right now. We're about the 11-minute mark, so I'm going to go into a few minutes of handicapping this weekend's games. You've got to watch out this week because there are some tricky lines out there, a lot of big spreads. I'm not really one to go big on spreads that are up and out there, but this week it took me a while to get my picks ready. Just finished them yesterday, but the New Orleans Saints, last time they played the Cardinals was 2010. I remember this game vividly as I used to live in Arizona, but they lost to the Max Hall-led Arizona Cardinals at Arizona as 7-point favorites. This time they're at home. And I just think quarterbacks like Drew Brees and the great quarterbacks, they keep those type of performances in the back of their mind. They remember those type of games, and he's going to come out there slinging because that was a game they shouldn't have lost a couple of years ago. And I think this one's going to be an absolute blowout. Carson Palmer, he's had a few mistakes his first couple of weeks of the season, and against the Saints at New Orleans, when you make mistakes the way Carson Palmer's done and has done in years past, you stand no chance. So I think it's going to be the type of game where the Cardinals' defense gets caught by surprise by the Saints' offense, and they're just going to pile up points. And once that happens, I don't think Carson Palmer has the firepower to just drop back and try to lead his team back. They're going to blitz him. They're going to disguise coverages, and he's going to make mistakes. So that one right there is a free play that I'll give away right now. New Orleans Saints -7. You buy it down to 6.5. Go ahead and do that. And let's see what other play I want to give out in the NFL. Minnesota is one that you can definitely make a case for. I liked them before the trade. The line hasn't really moved too much. It's at 6.5. It probably will keep going up, obviously, because it was at 5.5 before the trade. But that was one I really liked beforehand. I think the Vikings are devalued a little bit. They put up points their first 2 weeks, and both their first two games were on the road against their divisional opponents, the Bears and the Detroit Lions. So probably hasn't been a team that start off the season with a more tougher schedule, being on the road against their divisional opponents, two quality teams, and they were in both those games. But they get to go back home now, a Cleveland Browns team that Brian Hoyer and who knows what they're going to have at running back, just getting Josh Gordon back at wide receiver. And their defense has played well, but they've caved in the second half. And I think Minnesota Vikings will just stick to that strategy. They're not going to let Christian Ponder do too much early in the game as they don't want to blow the spread. But this is just like the Browns have been the past couple of weeks. They're down 7-6 to Miami. They're winning 6-0 against Baltimore. And in the second half, it just caves in. I kind of see the same thing happening this week. Late third quarter, fourth quarter, just dominates by Minnesota on their home field. A couple of mistakes here and there, and they should be able to cover this spread, even though it's kind of large in factor. You'd like to see Minnesota be able to score touchdowns, which last week they had plenty of opportunities against Chicago, so you think they might drive that home this week in meetings. Score on the opposite of the 50, score touchdowns. A lot of people may stay away from that game, but I liked it before, and I like it even more now. And there's just a lot of good games on the board. I'm going to have all the picks up on notjustagame.com. They're just $30 a pick. And if you've seen my history, my days with Wayne Root, and my days with just making picks in general, I'm good with consistency. I'll deliver for you. Go ahead and test me out this weekend if you haven't before, and I'll show you how to get yourself some winners. Those are two free picks. Now go ahead and give one more in college football. I'll give you all a pick here. I'm going to get the lines reloaded here so they're nice and fresh. One mistake I would just want to talk about, a lot of people will go for the headlining games consistently in college football, and those are the games that are going to get you in trouble. There's plenty of games on the board in the lower tier conferences, lower tier mismatches, and just right off the bat, the San Jose State and Minnesota's early start time for both schools, but Minnesota, I really haven't been impressed with what they've done last week against was it Western Illinois, and then the week before that against UNLV. They dominated UNLV in the second half, but it was a game that was closer than the score was, and UNLV led up as soon as they got down by double digits. But early in the game, right before the halftime, it's kind of a close game. San Jose State, they have hit their fifth-year senior quarterback, David Fales. It's a pretty good quarterback, and this is the type of game where I think the line's just right. It's at 3.5 right now. And I would say just get the points in that one. Those 3.5 points will be on your side for the underdog and start you off in the right, proper way on Saturday. So feel free to email me questions. I'm there for you constantly. Can be reached on Twitter or via email. On Twitter at Simony, via email notjustagame23@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll debut another one next week. Have a good one.